Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Two days left in 2013 and one big pick from Mayor-elect Bill de Blasio. Good morning, I'm Anna Sale, in for Brian Lehrer. As Mayor Michael Bloomberg signs his last bills into law today, no more foam containers or e-cigarettes, reports indicate that Bill de Blasio will announce Carmen Farina as the pick for school's chancellor. She's been a teacher, a principal, a superintendent, and a deputy chancellor. Now she's coming out of retirement to lead the DOE. We'll review the Farina record later this hour. Also today, what the latest census numbers tell us about where the newest New Yorkers are immigrating from and what neighborhoods they're moving to. And we reveal the 10 best photos of 2013 taken by you on your cell phone. You can see a slideshow of them now on our website, WNYC.org. Just click on The Brian Lehrer Show. But first, President Obama opened his year-end press conference last week by listing his administration's many accomplishments of 2013. Job creation, increasing enrollment in the Affordable Care Act, a budget passed. But despite his rosy portrait, after these opening remarks, the first question asked at that presser was still, "Mr. President, has this been the worst year of your presidency?" Here's part of his response.
I have now been in office 5 years, close to 5 years. Was running for president for 2 years before that. And for those of you who've covered me during that time, we have had ups and we have had downs. I think this room has probably recorded at least 15 near-death experiences. And what I've been focused on each and every day is, are we moving the ball in helping the American people, families, have more opportunity, have a little more security, to feel as if they work hard, they can get ahead.
So what do you think? Has this been the president's worst year, or has this been a year of accomplishment, the start of new things? Here to look back on the year in the Obama presidency and what's to come next year is Ben Smith, editor-in-chief of BuzzFeed. Ben, welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks for having me on, Anna.
So I want to ask you first about where we are in this transition between 2013 and 2014 and looking back. I mean, of course, a lot of the policies the president put into action this year, including but not limited to the Affordable Care Act and the timeline for troop removal in Afghanistan, won't actually take hold until next year. So how much can we judge how well or not well this year has gone for the Obama White House?
I think, you know, snap judgments on presidencies are notoriously wrong. And you can, you know, I think, you know, had you looked at George H.W. Bush's presidency at a certain moment, it seemed like he was the most popular and most successful president in American history. There were huge disappointments this year, though. I mean, immigration, gun control was maybe the sort of one people are talking about, but also the failure not only to pass major immigration reform, but the sort of vanishing of the hope that that would happen, which seemed like it really was going to happen, and now people are saying, well, maybe in, you know, like 2017 or something. And then the Affordable Care Act, you know, consumed the fall, and is, I think implementation will consume next year. And I mean, I think there's an argument to be made if it works, his presidency maybe will be a success and will be looked at back on primarily for that. But it's, you know, it's in the balance now.
So 2017 for immigration reform, you said that would be after a new president is elected.
I mean, I'm just saying that's sort of, you know, you hear people saying on the Hill now, like, there's just sort of no path right now. Though, you know, who knows, these things can change very fast. But these big priorities, immigration, gun control, climate legislation, just really don't seem in the cards. There's administrative things he can and will do this next year, I think.
And we got some
to move those forward, but
we got some new numbers though about the other major legislation that the Obama White House is implementing right now, the Affordable Care Act. How much do you think the Obama White House has been able to contain the damage from those early and quite significant missteps of that rollout?
I mean, it's hard to imagine it going worse. I don't think they've contained it at all. I think the act has become much less popular. But I think, you know, rather than containing, I do think they've fixed some of it. I mean, it was really a technical problem, and they have substantial resources and are, I think, on their way to the technical solution. And, you know, millions of people are going to wind up getting there. You know, this is like any major piece of legislation, something with winners and losers. But there are going to be a lot of people who have health care who didn't have health care before. And that's, you know, that's obviously going to change the how people feel about it.
And just looking back over the last couple of months, who do you, having covered this, who do you blame for the way the rollout was fumbled again and again? Was it Kathleen Sebelius? Was it President Obama himself? What's your assessment at this point?
I mean, at some point, it's President Obama himself. I think, you know, the problem is there was nobody really in charge. There were people early on saying, well, you should bring in a healthcare executive to implement this healthcare program, but they didn't exactly have a great relationship with the industry. But they also don't have a, you know, if you say, well, who's in charge of domestic policy in this White House? There are names that will come up, but there's not where it had obviously been Rahm Emanuel, you know, somebody who'd been on the highest level of that for years. It had been Jack Lew, who had been the budget director, another big figure in domestic policy for years, who was his most recent chief of staff. And his current chief of staff is a foreign policy guy. And I think I think at the highest level, there are not people who've implemented major elements of domestic policy before.
You wrote a great profile of the current chief of staff about a month ago, where you wrote about there's something of a mystery that the White House has never worked better than under Dennis McDonough. But what's followed, you know, was under his tenure could arguably be the Obama administration's worst year. I mean, how much do you lay this at his feet and just the management inside the White House?
I mean, I think, you know, part of the chief of staff's job is to take blame instead of the president. But McDonough and Obama are unusually personally close. Sometimes the chief of staff is this sort of is a figure who's in some way the kind of an alternative to the president, who's the guy who he can be good cop to the president's bad cop, or he does certain kinds of outreach, which is what Rahm Emanuel was. That McDonough is really more an extension of Obama, and so some of the things that, particularly that he brought from the foreign policy world, were just that, like, there's a sense of calm and of organization inside the White House. Meetings start on time. They have agendas. People leave the meetings knowing what they're supposed to do. But there was obviously this huge gap in planning.
I mean, we now have this paradox where President Obama and his closest advisors are sort of have this reputation for micromanagement and then these enormous management problems. I mean, that doesn't seem to be the hallmark of micromanagers.
I mean, I think they micromanage things that they are very focused on sort of personally and know a lot about and care a lot about. I mean, I think foreign policy is something where if you contrast, you know, this incredibly delicate and complicated approach to the Iranians, you know, happening very senior, very capable officials, you know, shuttling back and forth secretly to Oman to have these meetings, totally under the radar, unreported, managed to keep it out of the press. You know, that was not something that was delegated to the relevant guy at some sort of sub-cabinet agency near the State Department, which is basically what happened with healthcare.
Let's shift over to Congress and the White House's relationship with Congress. You mentioned gun legislation did not pass in Congress. You have these huge things that President Obama ran on during his campaign for a second term, immigration reform, climate, to start, as you mentioned. I mean, how much do you think we can take from the failure of more extensive gun background checks, that not passing? How much can we look ahead to things like immigration and climate and predict whether the Obama administration is going to be able to get these major initiatives through Congress?
You know, there's this line in Washington that I think is ridiculous that, you know, Obama's lack of a personal relationship with people on Capitol Hill is the central issue. I mean, that probably doesn't help, but you know, there's a very conservative Republicans in very safe seats control the House of Representatives, and so no major liberal legislation is going to pass. And I think that's just, I think everything else is kind of noise. I mean, they're not going to pass major climate legislation because a huge chunk of them don't believe in, you know, human-caused climate change. I mean, there are these very conservative, very basic disagreements around policy that I just don't think there's really a way around. So I don't think it's really if Obama schmoozed better, that would change the way the House of Representatives looks at taxing and spending and climate and things like that.
So looking ahead to the midterm elections in 2014, when those House seats are all up for reelection, I mean, what do you think how do you think the Obama administration is going to position itself politically? I mean, there was an article in the New York Times over the weekend about the open Senate seat in West Virginia, which is currently democratically held. That's my home state. And about how the Democratic candidate there is trying to distance herself from the Obama White House. I mean, how much can President Obama actually affect the outcome of the midterms when some of these major initiatives have been unpopular?
I mean, you know, the Democrats' plan, and, you know, I don't think there's been a single year when the Democrats' plan and their message was the message that they actually wound up running on and talking about. but their plan is to have it be all about the minimum wage this year. And this is, I mean, in a way, it's a proxy for economic inequality, for a whole range of other issues. Unemployment insurance, I think, will be another issue they talk about. I think their favorite issue is the minimum wage. You know, it's at its lowest in real terms and since Harry Truman. And when workers at places like McDonald's and Walmart, you know, just do not make enough money to live on and are heads of their households, and in a very slim minority of Americans think that's okay. But Republicans don't want to raise the minimum wage. And I think that's just something they're going to hammer and hammer, try to make the Senate vote on. You know, maybe there'll be some compromise on it, but it seems at the moment like that. And Republican refusal to raise the minimum wage will probably, I think, Democrats will try to make that the central issue.
You already mentioned gerrymandered districts. I mean, where do you think that message could actually make an impact in terms of the election returns?
You know, I mean, I think there are maybe a dozen. There are not that many contested House seats, although there is such an intense anti-incumbent mood that I think people in both parties are worried that they'll see some surprises, that people will see a familiar name and just vote against whoever that person is kind of blindly.
And looking back at 2013, we've mentioned gun background checks, their failure, and probably not going to come up again in the rest of the Obama presidency. Any other issues where the damage looks to have been contained in 2013? I mean, Benghazi, for example. Do you think we've heard the last of that, or is that going to continue on in the next couple of years of the Obama administration?
You know, I think Benghazi is going to be one of these things that, like, you will hear on conservative talk radio forever that is going to be sort of a code word that rallies conservatives and that means certain things to conservatives, but there's not ever going to be a moment when it kind of breaks back through and there's clarity unless there are kind of documents or specific things Hillary Clinton did and she runs for president. But I think, you know, there's a great Time story over the weekend that basically the answer was, you know, this wasn't one thing or the other. It was all of the above. It was incredibly complicated. Whether you think this was an al-Qaeda attack basically depends on what you think the word al-Qaeda means. So I think, I mean, there's lots of room for people to fight about it, but also I think not so much room for there to be new information that, you know, changes everybody's view of it dramatically.
So Benghazi, We'll continue to scrap over the minimum wage. I mean, let's talk about climate for a minute. What do you think the likelihood is that we will see movement on that in the coming year?
You know, it's really hard to see any kind of legislative movement. I mean, the coalition is so tough. These coal state Democrats shut things down. That said, you know, there is a climate working group inside the administration that I think is likely to be very ambitious about, you know, regulatory action. John Podesta, who came in as a sort of, I'm not sure what his title is, but a kind of shadow chief of staff or a former White House chief of staff who's now working with Dennis McDonough in there, I think is likely to do things that make it harder to build coal-fired power plants, that, you know, crack down on things like methane emissions. I mean, all sorts of things that aren't really like front burner issues, but the Department of Energy, the Department of the Interior, trade representative, they really do have quite a lot of power. And that's before you get to the Environmental Protection Administration, which again can unilaterally issue rules around pollution and carbon emissions.
And finally, much of the bad PR in 2013 for the Obama administration came from the leaks about what the NSA has been up to. Now that a federal judge has declared the NSA surveillance program unconstitutional, do you think we'll see any changes here? Do you think we'll see the president begin to talk about this differently?
Sure feels to me like the ground is changing. You've had two rulings from federal judges in totally opposite directions in a way that I think a lot of people think maybe this ultimately winds up in the Supreme Court. You know, where you have Republicans and conservatives who aren't particularly inclined to do Obama a favor and who also in some cases are pretty strong civil libertarians. And so it's unclear how much of this will wind up holding up in court. And at the same time, you have members of both political parties starting to realize that the politics of this kind of mass surveillance aren't that great, particularly out west, where there's a very, very strong strain of kind of small-L libertarianism. So I think, you know, Obama, and I think one of the big mysteries is, like, what does Obama really think about this? Did he really know about all this? Did he really support it? You know, and what was his relationship to the NSA? To what degree were they manipulating him, which is something he can never say publicly, but it is a really interesting question.
And just looking back over the year, Ben, I wonder, thinking about all the things that have happened in 2013, what did you learn about President Obama and how he governs that you didn't know when he was sworn in for his second term at the start of the year?
I mean, I think that the things, you know, both his strengths and his flaws are the things that that people knew about him. I mean, the kind of insularity, but also the patience. But a kind of disengagement from the details of policy that, you know, that I think sometimes, you know, when things work, you say, well, he delegates well, but that sure wasn't working this year.
And when you said patience, what do you mean?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, you saw with the Affordable Care Act, you know, all along, like they have been through crises before. You know, when Scott Brown won in January, it was supposed to be all over, and Obama, rather than panicking, sort of has kept pushing this thing forward.
Do you think it's too soon to start using the term lame duck for President Obama, having seen what we've seen this year?
Yeah, I think it's probably too soon. I mean, I think you're going to see, I mean, the federal government is a powerful, powerful thing. And I think you're going to see, I think you'll see a shift away from trying to get any kind of legislation done. But I think you'll probably see more flexing of executive muscle as they worry less about alienating members of Congress who might, you know, who might compromise because they don't see compromise as possible.
So given that, I mean, how much should we care about the 2014 midterm elections? If it sounds like you're pretty pessimistic about any chances of major legislation in the rest of the Obama presidency.
I mean, I think, you know, they'll fight very, very hard. I mean, for the very slim but, you know, non-zero chance of a Democratic takeover of the House, which would change everything. You know, and also continue this sort of what has been a pipe dream all along, that they will kind of in some way show Republicans poll numbers on specific issues that force them to vote like Democrats, the minimum wage in this case. But I think beyond that, and then I think the other place where you could imagine legislation is that, I mean, Republican leaders are not thrilled that this Congress hasn't passed major legislation that the president has signed into law. People like John Boehner, Paul Ryan would, in fact, love to have some major piece of legislation under their names. Mm-hmm. And there are spaces around education, around anti-poverty, around incarceration, alternatives to incarceration, closing prisons, where there is maybe common ground. You see sort of Cory Booker and Rand Paul talking to each other on Twitter about, like, drug sentencing stuff. And you could imagine something coming out of the blue sky in those areas.
You mentioned Rand Paul and Cory Booker on Twitter. And before you go, I want to make sure I ask you about your article in the current issue of Playboy, which I haven't had an opportunity to read yet because it's difficult to find online.
You don't subscribe?
I don't subscribe. But it's basically about how social media, you're making the argument that social media is eclipsing journalism. Can you lay out what you argue?
Oh, I don't think that's my argument at all. I mean, I think just that these big new distribution platforms, Twitter, Facebook, you know, are great for journalism and are spreading great stories. I mean, the things that people share on Twitter and on Facebook, in different senses, you know, tend to be great stories. You see, probably the most shared thing on Facebook and Twitter this year were the Edward Snowden stories. And I think, you know, people can kind of, there's this, you know, people have been mourning the decline of journalism for so long that I think a lot didn't kind of notice that, although, you know, obviously if you're in the business of selling paper and ink, that's probably not a great business. But it's, you know, there are lots of places hiring reporters and paying them to do reporting right now.
All right.
There's also BuzzFeed among them.
That's Ben Smith from BuzzFeed giving you a reason to pick up this month's Playboy, as well as looking back at President Obama's year and what we can expect in the year ahead. Thanks so much for joining us, Ben.
Thanks, Anna.
Coming up, we'll look at Mayor-elect Bill de Blasio and his pick, who's going to run schools under his mayorship. I'm Anna Sale, in for Brian Lehrer.